he's been doing for these years there in Uganda, and it just doesn't seem like it's been 20 years. Time has gone very quickly. Of course, those first pictures, the one that Cheryl was holding is now our 18-year-old. We're on deputation for about 2 years and been in Uganda now for 18 years, and now she's getting ready in January to head off to Bible college. And so if you would be praying for her as she embarks on that new phase of her life with that special degree the pastor is talking about, and do keep her in your prayers. I'd appreciate that. And also be praying for us. We got back here in June and been doing a lot of traveling and visiting different folks and things, and we'll be headed back the first week of February back to the country of Uganda. And so please do keep us in your prayers. We're going to be here this week. We'll be in a couple different churches in Nebraska, then headed out towards California. I try to chase the warm weather. I'm not used to cold weather anymore. So we'll be out in California and then back down through San Antonio, back towards South Carolina. And so if you would be praying for us, we'd still have a lot of miles to go. And I'm supporting different churches and different folks. And so we'd appreciate your continued prayers for us as we travel here and then get ready back to go back there to Uganda. And we have a display board set up here in the back as well. If you take a few moments, look at that. There's some different pictures and also a book there showing a span of the different years, over these 20 years of different photos. And please do get one of the new prayer cards. We have the updated picture on there of the family with the kids and everything, and then also some contacts and things on the back. And my family is here with me tonight. My wife Cheryl here, and our five children are all here. They'll just stand for just a second. They always enjoy it when I make them stand. You know, they like that part. And so, and many times ladies like to ask my wife or our girls questions, and please feel free to do that as well if you'd like to, about the different places there or culture or anything of that nature. And we do appreciate your prayers for so and your faithfulness to us over the years, and especially for your faithfulness to our Lord. And we do appreciate that so much. Let's be turning in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read here in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. And here tonight also, as we're looking to some scripture, we'll share some more things with you about the country of Uganda as well and about what the Lord's doing there. Today, the Christian school has been a special blessing to us as well. As we mentioned, there's about 215 this year, and we have an open enrollment to where we can use it also as an evangelistic tool. About 12 to 15% of the population of Uganda is Muslim, and there's the main religion there is the Catholics and others. And so there's many times where you're going to try to reach people with the gospel, and they don't want to listen. They don't want to allow their children or anything to even come to the church. And so now some of these parents who never let their kids come to church, and even some now still don't want to come to church on Sunday, are sending them to the Christian school. So now instead of getting them on Sunday and one day of the week, now we're getting them 5 days a week. And, you know, the Bible talks about training up a child on the way they should go, and these Muslim children are getting saved, and others are getting saved. Many of the kids you saw in the video tonight have trusted Christ as their Savior. So the parents are starting to get saved now also. There's other parents who are Muslims and other groups like that who are inviting some to their homes and who've listened to the gospel message now. We have special functions a couple times a year. And so they'll come to listen to the children, and the kids will get up and quote scripture verses, sing Christian songs, do a Christian drama, and then we'll get up and preach the Word of God to them. And so they come in a couple times a year with that as well. And so the Lord's really used that as a great opportunity in reaching people with the gospel. And it's also been a blessing to our church family as well for their children to be able to come to the school. And then also at the Bible college, it's been a blessing. We just changed our prayer letter head to better reflect the people that we are reaching with the gospel. We're not just reaching people from Uganda, but also people from South Sudan and from Rwanda and from Burundi and from Congo and from Kenya and from Eritrea and other places around. Uganda is kind of a melting pot for East Africa, and so we're now actually being able to minister to many people from the surrounding countries. And with Pastor Sadok, you saw him on the video here tonight, he's back in Rwanda preaching the gospel. And then also now he's sending back men and women to us to train in the Bible college. And so we have several men there who are training as pastors to go back to Rwanda to start churches there. And that's an exciting thing. In Rwanda, they really don't want missionaries. We have one missionary there. He went to and started a radio station. They want businessmen. And so he did that to be able to get into the country. But now they're coming to us to train, and then they're going back. We had two people from Congo, two men from the Congo there. Congo, you can get into. It's not getting in that worries me. It's getting back out of Congo that I'm concerned about. And so it's a bit of a rough country still. And yet now we have two men in the Bible college training as pastors. Also, we're reaching people through the church ministries that are from South Sudan. And it's our prayer that we can see some of those men surrender to the call to preach, and that we can train some of those men to go back to the home country and to preach the gospel there. And so the Lord's really given us an open door, not just in Uganda, but throughout East Africa. And that's really the power of God. That's what God can do in helping us to reach that whole area with the gospel. And look here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. It says here, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." And that's what we'll look about tonight, about the power of God, and about what God can do and what he's doing there in Uganda. And, you know, it's amazing how, as we've traveled to different countries and different places and talked to many different people, there are some folks that think about missions as far as a social program. As far as, you know, you're there just to clothe people and to feed people and do things of that nature. And we have done some of that. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Bible talks about helping others. I've enjoyed seeing what you're doing out here, and that was a blessing to me. To see that you're the program that you're working through, and that you're working through churches. That's exciting, because I encourage our people there in Uganda to give through their church also, and to help in starting and helping other churches to minister to people. Some of you might have heard about a rebel called Kony, and Kony was terrorizing up there in the north and killing many people. And he'd take the children and put them into his army. And for them to be a part of his army, many of them would have to kill their own family. And they were forced to do many terrible things. And now they've run him off and things like this. And, you know, there's been some challenges up there in the north. And there's over 1,000 refugees up there at one of our churches one time. They had 18 acres of land where they're helping do some work ministering to children up there in that area. And I told our folks there in Uganda, if anyone should help them, it should be their own people. I said, we need to give, and we need to give through our church so that they can be helped with clothing, with food, with different things, but also not just physically, but then also to where they're having the gospel preached to them. And I was reading this here about what you're doing out there and about how they're working through churches. And that's exciting to me. And those are things that we ought to do to be able to minister to people. And those are things that we do there in Uganda and encourage our people to do as well. But the thing is, it's about the preaching of the gospel. And it's exciting because as these children get these different things, they'll also hear the gospel message, I'm sure, through those churches. And that's what we did there in Uganda, is they took those that aid up to those refugees there who had been driven out of their homes because of Joseph Kony. They not only got food and clothing and different things, but also they heard the gospel message and several people trusted Christ as their Savior. There in our church, you saw on the video, Pastor Charles. He started what they call the Christmas Party for the Poor. He's also on radio and TV, and he announces it on radio and TV, and he does it through the church there, and it's a program of our church now, in which towards the end of the year, they collect a lot of different things, and food items and clothing and things, and then they'll go out to a different village nearby where we want to start a church, and they'll distribute those things and help people in that area, and then also they'll preach the gospel to those folks, and we're using that as a tool of evangelism, even in reaching people with the gospel, and so these things do have their proper place. But the main thing is also, of course, the preaching of the gospel. Because as the scripture says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I've told that to our folks there many times as we strive to help others. We must remember that the most important thing is the gospel message. Because we can help them with all so many things to this life, but if they die and go to hell, how will we help them when they'll suffer for all eternity? And so we need to help them, not just physically, but also spiritually. And that's exciting and a wonderful thing as you see that in your own church here as well. And I pray that each one of you take an opportunity and being involved in that program. It makes a difference in the lives of others when you get involved in ministries that your pastor is talking about, such as this one here, and helping these precious children. Our goal in Uganda is to preach the gospel, to see the lost getting saved, and also to train them to serve the Lord. This is why we start churches. This is the work of missions and going out and preaching and also in starting churches to where they can be trained and then they can serve the Lord and invite people to church. And, you know, the thing is, as we look at about the power of God, one of the things I want us to see is that our service can make a difference. As we serve the Lord, it makes a difference in this life. It makes a difference in the lives of others. Look back here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." They preached the gospel to others, and not just inviting them to church, but in sharing the gospel with them. They started churches and made a difference in the lives of others. And you can see that in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, how that those men made a difference in this life. And was it because of them? No. It is God working through them. And the thing is, we have that same Spirit of God. We have the Holy Spirit in us today, and that's an awesome thought, to think about that, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that God has chosen to work through us in reaching others with the gospel. And we can make a difference in the lives of others. I was just with a couple of weeks ago, we're in a missions conference, and there's a man there from Haiti. And he talked about when he first came here to the States. He's been here in the States for a number of years, and now God has called him to go back to his home country and to reach his own people with the gospel. He said, when I first got here, he said, "I don't know any English, I don't know anything." He said, "I couldn't go up and just talk to people, but I wanted to do something for God, and I wanted to be a witness." And he said he'd get that gospel tract, and he would go out, and he'd have that gospel tract. He said, "I didn't know how to talk English." And he said, "I'd just go up to him and go, ah!" And he'd make a noise like that, and people, they'd jump back. But then they take that gospel tract. And, you know, he said there was nothing special about what I did. But, you know, God used that, and he helped me in reaching others with the gospel. Now, since then, he's refined his approach a little bit, you know. And that's a good thing to do, to refine that somewhat. We had another gentleman, a former pastor I was speaking to, who's retired now. He told me he had gone to the doctor. And he said, when he went to the doctor, that as he's coming out, you know, there's a receptionist you pay, and then you make an appointment to come back again. And he had to make a follow-up appointment, so he's talking to her. And they left her at gospel tract. And she got mad. And she said, "Well, I think that's a personal matter. I don't want this. I don't want to talk about this as personal." And he said, "Well, ma'am, I understand what you're saying, but you see, God has called me to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and you look like a creature to me." That's not a very good thing to tell ladies, really. You know, you look like a creature. At least if you want to have a very long lifespan, anyway. He said he never got a follow-up doctor's appointment either there. But, you know, it's good to refine that a little bit. But you don't have to be a college graduate to be a witness to others. You don't have to have all sorts of talents and abilities and all different things like that. You just need to make yourself available so that God can work through you. Because God wants to work through each one of us here. And your service can make a difference. That pastor who was going back to Haiti, you know, he mentioned this. He said, you know, God works through soul winners. God works through us. And, you know, in the scripture, it talks about how, you know, Paul and Apollos and how God has given a minister to every person. And we mentioned the fact about, you know, who has God given to you? Who is it that God wants you to reach with the gospel? Do you realize that there's some people that will not listen to your pastor? They don't know him. But maybe they know you. Maybe it's someone that you work with. Maybe it's a colleague. Maybe it's a neighbor or someone else or a relative. And they may not listen to me or to other people, but they know you. They trust you. And they'll listen to you. Do you realize that God can work through you to reach them with the gospel? And you might say, "Well, I don't know. I can't do that." Well, it's not you. It's God working through you. It's you doing what God has called each one of us to do, and going to all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature, to every person. This is what God has called each one of us to do. And this is God working through us. This is how God desires to work through us and reach. This is why he came, to seek and to save that which is lost. Just recently, I was at a church, and one of the men there at the church said, "Thank you for doing what we can't do." And I said, "No, wait a minute. I'm doing the same thing you guys are doing here. I'm just doing it in a different location. We're out soul winning. We're out passing out gospel tracts in church and doing the same things you guys do here, just in a different country." I said, "I'm going where you're not at, and thank you for sending me. But really, we're doing the same work, because this is your part of the world that God has called you to, and you're to be doing the same thing here that we're doing over there. And you need the same power of God that we need in Africa." We all need that to do the work of God. They left us an example that we could follow in reaching others with the gospel. You know, so many times there's things that distract us and turn us away, but we need to be focused on what God has called us to do. And reaching people here at home, and also reaching people throughout this world through missions. We teach our people there in Uganda also to give to missions. We have a missions program there just like you have one here. And they help to support other national pastors there in Uganda who are going out to start churches. They're helping a national pastor up in South Sudan and starting churches there and training men as pastors. They're helping Pastor Sanok and going down to Rwanda and pastoring there, and he's preaching on the Christian radio station. And so they're involved in that same type of work that you're doing here. And, you know, really this is in Uganda like an extension of your ministries here, because we are working together. We're working together for our Lord. And so as we look at the power of God, we see, first of all, number one, that our service makes a difference. When you serve God, it makes a difference in the lives of others. I went to Midwestern Baptist Academy not too far from here. And just recently, last week, we're down in Kansas. And I met a young man that I went to high school with. And he tells me, he said, "You're the reason I'm serving God." Now, I knew me in high school. I don't know if I was really the reason he's serving God, but he thinks I am. But I do remember when we were in high school, another friend and I called him over. And we asked him if he'd go and stay at, we stayed at my one friend's house that night. And we stayed up most of the night talking to him and trying to encourage him to do what was right. When we left that night, I thought it didn't make a difference at all. I thought we didn't get through to him. But now he says that's what changed his life. But it wasn't me. I wasn't sharing with him the wisdom of James Pridgen. I was sharing with him God's word and about what God would have us to do. You know, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And God can make a difference to each one of us if we will step out by faith and serve him. So we see that our service makes a difference. The second thing here is our giving makes a difference. As we give to help others, it makes a difference. You know, there in the book of Philippians chapter 4, it talks about how that, you know, he's not desiring this to have a gift, but that he desired fruit that would abound to your account. And our giving truly does make a difference. Because you give, that's why we can be in Uganda for 20 years. Because of your giving, those people that you saw in that video tonight, those people that are saved because you gave. Your giving has made a difference there in Uganda and throughout this world. I know you support other missionaries as well. And as you give to these children here, and this ministry is going to make a difference in their life also. That's why I enjoy the missions that we do and having missionaries come through the churches to remind us so we can see what God is doing with the investment that we've made. And I want to encourage each one here, everyone can give. I tell our folks here in Uganda, there's no one here that can't give. We may choose not to give, but there's no one who can't give. There in Uganda, I've asked our people before, how many of you have 500 shillings? That's basically like a quarter. I mean, sometimes you can even find a quarter just laying on the ground. And many times there's people say, "Well, I can't give." Well, we can give something. It may not be what we desire to give, but it's out of what we have. We're to give back to God so that we can support missions. Everyone ought to be involved in giving. And some of the greatest offerings given in the Bible are what mankind will look at as being the least. You know, the widow's mite and other such gifts that were given. We need to make sure that we're faithful in our giving. And our giving also makes a difference. You know, in verse 25 of the scripture says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it talks about that. You know, in man's reasoning, what we do sometimes doesn't make sense. Hey, listen, you've got your own problems. You've got your own challenges. We don't know what the future may hold. We're talking about elections and stuff. What's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen? All these different things. And you're giving to help people you don't even know. We're taking part in God's plan. And that giving that we're doing is making a difference in the lives of others. It's not making a difference just in this life. It's making a difference for eternity. And we're laying up that treasure in heaven as we give to missions. So as we see here tonight about the power of God, we see that our service makes a difference. We also see that our giving makes a difference. And the last thing I want to mention tonight is that you can make a difference. You know, there's some people in this life that think, I can't do anything. I know my dad, when I was younger, he went up to a pastor's conference. And the pastor preached a message, and the title of the message he said was, "You don't have to be a failure." My dad thought that because, you know, I'm saved, but because of the life that I've lived before, God can't use me. God can't work through me. But he heard that message, and he determined, I'm going to serve the Lord with my life. He went back to that church and started a bus route. Well, actually, there's one bus route there. He got involved in that bus ministry, and 4 years later, they went from one route to 12, and from about 20 kids to about over 400. He went to Athens, Greece, and started a church there. And now, just about a year and a half ago, he moved to South Carolina and started a church there. Pray for him, by the way. They're okay, but waterlogged there in South Carolina. But, you know, he thought, I can't do anything for God because of my past, because of what I've done. There are some people that think, well, I don't have the education I need. I don't have the talent I need. I don't have, you know, this gift or that thing. But God can work through you. They say the greatest ability is availability. Making yourself available. Anytime there's something here in the church, just to volunteer and to be readily available. To look for opportunities to share the gospel with others. I shared this morning with the folks in church this morning about one of the young men here on the video, Pastor Amos, who got saved. I still remember that just very clearly still today. He is about 18 years old. We were looking to buy land for the church. We're out looking for some land. And they came back, and I was dropping him off at his house. But before he got out, I asked him, are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And like most people in the world today, he said, well, yes. I said, really? Well, how do you know that you're saved? What are you basing that on? And he told me, he said, well, I used to, you know, I was out drinking and I was out going to bars and different things. And my aunt told me that I need to give my life to God. So I went to the church and I quit doing those things. And now I'm singing in the church choir and I'm one of the church dancers. And they have church dancers in some churches now. And I told him, I said, oh, it's great that you've changed your life, but that's not what the Bible says you have to do to go to heaven. Has anyone ever shown you what the Bible says you must do to be saved? And I remember sharing the scriptures with them that day in my van. We're just out looking for a place for a church, looking at houses and different places there. But no matter what you're doing in life, you ought to be so conscious and be thinking about those people's eternal destination. He got saved that day and he started coming to church. He's now gone from being a church dancer in the Pentecostal church to being a Baptist pastor in an independent Baptist church. But you know, it's amazing the difference God can make in the lives of others. But you know, he wants to work through you. He wants to work through us. And that's the power of God. He can take any one of us and use us for his glory. He can take any one of us here and work through us. And I don't know everyone here tonight, but maybe there's someone here that God has been working in your heart. Maybe God's calling you as a missionary. And maybe you've been thinking, I don't know if I can do that. Maybe God's calling someone here as a pastor, or maybe God's calling someone here as a Sunday school teacher, or to help out some way in the church, and you might be thinking, I don't know if I have the time, I don't know if I have the ability. But you need to make yourself available to God. You need to allow God to work through you. I like that song, I believe it's a children's song, it talks about how the only hands God has to work through are my hands. The only lips he has to speak through are my lips. The only feet he can walk with are my feet, talking about in this life. And the ministry's here. He has chosen to work through us. And God can work through us if we allow him. And that's what God is doing there in Uganda. God has done a work there, and it's been wonderful to see what the Lord's doing through the Bible college and through the church and through the Christian school. And we thank you for taking a part in that, for working together with us all these years, and for your faithfulness here. It's been a blessing coming back all these years and seeing many here still coming and being faithful to the Lord. And we thank you for that. Let's pray. Dear Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, we pray that you'll continue to work through us here, Lord, and Dear Father, I pray if there's someone here that maybe is not saved, that tonight they'll trust you as their Savior. Or maybe, Lord, you might speak to the heart of someone here about that call to ministry as a pastor, as a missionary. Or maybe, Lord, tonight you'll work in the heart of someone as a Sunday school teacher or just being involved in some of the areas of the ministry. Or maybe there's someone here tonight that's been thinking about giving to missions but has not been doing that, Lord. And dear Father, I pray that you'll just do a work in our life and help us to understand that you can work through us so that we can make a difference in the lives of others, not because of our strength and ability, but because of you working through us. Dear Father, I pray that you'll bless this church, Lord, and be with them. And dear Father, we pray that you'll bless this time now as the pastor comes. We thank you and love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
You've heard what we need to hear tonight. God brought the man. God brought the message. What are we going to do with it? Let's stand tonight. An invitation's open. Maybe you need